Don't miss this annual event that is sure to delight and amaze your eyes and ears. Let La Contessa entertain you Thursday, February 12, 2015, at the Clinton Street Theater. This is the perfect Valentine date night. Show starts at 7 p.m. That's Thursday, February 12th, 7 p.m., Clinton Street Theater. Tickets available now. Go to kboo.fm/talentshow.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, January 29th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guests are John Hanrahan with Exposed Facts, bringing us the report from inside that courtroom where Jeffrey Sterling was handed down. The jury decided on 9 counts. And it's a dark day. It's been some dark times for journalism, for reporting, and indeed for whistleblowing. It seems almost that this is something planned well in advance of the coming debacle for civil rights, human rights, the environment, and in general for the people of the United States of America, who post-USA Patriot Act, as you've said me heard me say thousands of times, has changed everything. We'll also be speaking with Steve Horn from the Dismog blog, a wonderful and frequent guest on the show, about the latest antics from Enbridge, another Canadian company with designs upon our using our environment as basically a cesspool to advance its own corporate interests. That said, we also will be speaking very shortly in the next few days with Julia DeGraw with Food and Water Watch. Yep, it's true. Nestle just won't give up. None of these companies give up. We may think we've won. We may think that the war is over, but actually it turns out it was just a small battle. Sorry to use militaristic metaphors, but you know what? We're living in an age where they are apt indeed. Julia will be bringing us up to speed on Nestle's attempts to steal water at, from the aquifers, the streams, our freshwater sources up the Columbia River, and once again, it's happening. Now, just before we speak with John Hanrahan at Expose Facts, an extraordinary organization, an amazing group of very, very small group of people who are smart, they work incredibly hard, and they are there on the spot, at right in the crosshairs, whenever something of the sort that happened in the courtroom, I believe, in Virginia, where Jeffrey Sterling was on trial. So that said, let's just quickly roll through these. Where else but in the U.S. of A., Land of the Free, would be celebrating Political Prisoner Day, with the poster for February. As always, is possible to obtain this for your very own self on January 15th. The Underground Publishing Group CrimeThink launched To Change Everything. It's a multimedia outreach project intended to introduce anarchist ideas to the general public. There's an idea. The project consists of at no cost, but it's a full color 48-page print publication. It's a video by a Submedia TV and an interactive website. Many different languages, many things that you can get. Something to think about if you care at all about prisoners. And take a look at the most recent Harper's Magazine. The corporatization of the prison system is way, way beyond your worst nightmares. And a lot of people are actually living that nightmare. On the same subject, on January 12th of this year, eco-prisoner Brian Biancourt, who was convicted of allegedly attempting an arson at a McDonald's, says that although he was formally seeking an appeal, he's now at peace with his sentence. And moving right along, in Northern California, the Unified Students of Humboldt, a group of Native students and allies at Humboldt State University, have taken over a building on campus to protest the treatment of the indigenous population there. It's a diverse group, a mix of Native and non-Native students, and it was formed in October after the respected Lakota administrator Jacqueline Bowman was fired. And Dismog blog Steve Horn will be getting to that very shortly. Engineers gave Enbridge a controversial nationwide, called a Permit 12. You've got a chance to take a look at that before we speak with Steve. Permit 12 green light for its proposed Line 78 pipeline. And Steve will be with us in just a few moments to tell you a lot more about that. But and see, Credo and Daily Cost have got another petition for us out there, ready and waiting. A reminder to Democratic Senator Menendez of New Jersey to stop warmongering and let negotiators get on with making a deal with Iran before another hotspot in that region explodes. Now we're going to speak with John Hanrahan from Exposed Facts about what happened this week. I believe it was on Monday that the jury handed down its verdict on Jeffrey Sterling. Good morning, John. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Glad to talk to you.
Well, welcome to the KBOO Airwaves. And could you bring listeners up to speed on the outcome, what this trial was about briefly? And basically, this was the CIA being extremely chuffed at being shown up for what fools, what bumbling, idiotic fools they were. And they took it out on none other than Jeffrey Sterling for exposing this.
Yeah, you put your finger right on it. And that was the point that the defense attorneys made throughout the trial, that the CIA was attempting to use this trial to resuscitate their reputation, which is probably impossible to do anyway. But, of course, people were very familiar, many people were very familiar with the role of the New York Times reporter James Risen in this. And Jeffrey Sterling sort of got overlooked in the lead up to this trial. Sterling allegedly leaked classified information to James Risen of the New York Times regarding a really insane plan by the CIA, which they were implementing, to provide Iran with nuclear weapons plans that had embedded flaws in them that supposedly they wouldn't recognize. CIA is located in Northern Virginia. The Defense Intelligence Agency is located there. All kinds of intelligence agencies are there, and a lot of the people either work for them or have, I'm not saying any on the jury work for them, but they have friends, relatives. It's just sort of in the air. And then also you had the Pentagon 9/11 bombing, and the prosecution pushed hard on this was a terrible leak. This can endanger us all. Condoleezza Rice testified to tell how dangerous this leak was and how she squelched the New York Times from originally publishing it till Risen put it in his book. And the jury was deadlocked on several counts as they came back just 2 or 3 hours before they rendered their verdict. And they said they were deadlocked, and then they went back and suddenly came out with a unanimous verdict. Some of us tried to talk to jurors, but they sort of left in a group and would not talk to anyone. So it's, they apparently, although this, I always call this an evidence-free case, there was circumstantial evidence, but nothing to link Risen having received an actual document or any information from Sterling. There was no evidence introduced that Sterling, you know, anybody saw him take out a document or that he transferred anything on his own computer. They found nothing of that sort when they searched his house. There was an interesting chronology, I will say, and the defense argued they've got a theory of the case but no evidence. We have a theory, too, they said, which is that it was somebody perhaps from the Senate Intelligence Committee or someone else who was knowledgeable about the program. There were, even though this is supposedly a closely held program, there were 90-some people within the CIA, and then people on the Senate Intelligence Committee, then headed by Republican Pat Roberts of Kansas. And they, the FBI originally, and their, the FBI agent in charge, wrote a report back several years before they named Sterling as the prime suspect, saying Sterling probably was not the guilty party. It was probably somebody in the Senate committee. But then they were blocked from interviewing anybody who was active on the Senate committee. The chairman and the chief of staff there said, no way, we're going to cooperate with you.
It's Menendez who's again meddling with Iran, too. I've got a couple of questions for you that I have not going to have time to get to today.
Sure,
we'll have to save that up for tomorrow. Thank you so much for that. My guest has been John Hanrahan. Take a look at the website, Expose Facts. And you can find a lot .org, that's right.
That's right.
That's exposefacts.org, a lot more information there. Thanks for that. So thank you very much, John, for joining us today. We're going to go now speak with Steve Horn with the Smog Blog, because again, Enbridge, here we are with this permitting process. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, how do they manage to do this again and again and again? The permitting, it's absurd. It's sort of a parody of the whole process.
Enbridge has done what TransCanada has not done. TransCanada went through a lengthy permitting process through the State Department that everyone knows about now, that pays attention to these issues, that's now visible through the debate over Senate Bill 1, the approved Keystone XL Act that the Senate has now been debating for about 2 or 3 weeks, dozens of amendments. So people know about the Keystone XL. They know that President Obama and the State Department have the final say on that, even though Congress is making a pretty big deal about it in the meantime. What they don't know is that while this has been taking place over the past several years, Enbridge has gotten through several pipelines, one that I call the Keystone XL clone that we've talked about on the show before, that goes from Alberta's tar sands down to the Gulf of Mexico. But this article that I wrote wasn't about the Keystone XL clone. It was about another clone that Enbridge is creating, and that's a clone of TransCanada's Energy East pipeline. It's actually just a Canadian pipeline. Again, TransCanada made the mistake tactically of doing a pipeline that goes across an entire country that's very visible. What Enbridge has done is done a bunch of little pipelines that all connect to one another that no one really notices until the whole system is built up. So now what they've done is, just most recently on January 16th, as my article details, they got a nationwide Permit 12 permit to build this 800,000 barrels per day pipeline that goes from north central Illinois to Chicagoland area and south Chicago by the BP Whiting Refinery, which is the biggest refinery of tar sands that's not on one of the coasts, on the coast of Lake Michigan, but it's not on one of the oceanic coasts. And so this will feed into that pipeline in a major way. But second of all, it connects to pipelines that go eastward towards the east coast of Canada. So it will fulfill both purposes. And Enbridge has done it basically covertly. There's no public hearings on any type of pipelines when they get a permit through the Army Corps of Engineers.
Steve, we're out of time. They're playing that dreadful music again. I want to commend listeners' attention to Smogblog, where you can read Steve's article. It's fascinating. I'm going to take another look at it, because what's going on right beneath our noses, right below the radar, is staggering. It is so much worse than the Keystone XL. Words just cannot express it. Again, my guest has been Steve Horn with the Smogblog. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, January 29th, 2015. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Rock Captain Stevenson's the KBOOA.